All right. I guess I had to get off on that tangent for a little while. Let's go to Chuck in Michigan. Chuck, you're on the line.
Back, you're listening to Wake Up with Ab. I'm your host, Aberrado. I've got a special guest, Brian Stavely from Dose of Reality. He has his own radio show. And let me just stop this because it was going to play to another couple. That was a good video, actually. And towards the end, it looks like they were doing something about Osama bin Laden and how his face was created from a Spanish politician. Did you see that, Brian? Okay, Brian's still on break. Robin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry. I was muted. I don't remember seeing that at the end. I'll have to look at it again.
Yeah, and that sort of reminds me of the fact that there's a good chance there was no such person as Osama bin Laden, or if there was, he wasn't that guy.
Yeah, I'd say there's at least an 80% chance he's just completely made up, just like Al-Qaeda is, you know?
And by the way, Brian, thanks. You must have a lot of listeners because we've got 13 live streamers right now, so they're probably
mostly your listeners,
so way to go.
Oh, good. Yeah, I told you, I plugged it a few places, so I knew some people would come over. That's good, you know, I hope we can mix our audiences together and grow them both together and... If I could plug one thing, I have a group on Facebook. I know a lot of people use Facebook where we have some pretty awake people in there that talk about not just 9/11, but as anything unfolds, we kind of help each other dissect it apart and stuff. Maybe I could throw you the link and you could throw it up somewhere for me or whatever.
Of course, chuck it wherever you want. Put it in the chat tango. Put it in Skype. And I'll put it in live fire if you can't get it in there for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah. The live fire won't let me copy and paste, so it's kind of a pain in the ass. I'll throw it in the chat tango. Here it is. All right.
That's weird.
Yeah, we've got some really good members, and I'm always posting 9/11 stuff in there, and you know any other event. We get people always chiming in, and it's a pretty active group. I'm on there a lot. It's become a pretty good.
Is that your group or someone else's?
Yeah, no, it's mine. I set it up. It's called The Real News Online.
Oh, I'm gonna put I'll type that in. Real News Online Facebook group. Okay.
Exactly.
I don't remember seeing that, so I'll join up.
Yeah, please do. You'll see good stuff in there.
The good thing about Live Fire is you can post to Facebook and Twitter at the same time.
Yeah.
You can check the little box. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I've done that, yep.
Yeah, I see that. It says it's a closed group.
Maybe I just got to go on and accept you, probably.
It says closed group. Oh, I see. So that means you have to be approved. So join.
Oh, no, I got a notification for you right now. Hold on. You are in now, right?
Oh, yeah, it says join, and then, so I've requested to join. That's how that works.
Yeah, and I accepted you. You're in.
Oh, peachy keen. Yeah, looks like I'm in. Oh, okay, very good.
All right, and anytime I do a show, obviously, I promote it on here, and I feel free to plug your show before you go on the air and try and get some people. But there's a lot of good information sharing and clips and everything. It's not just, you know, people plugging their shows and stuff like that, so... It's a pretty good group. You know, there's a million Facebook groups to be in, but I really like our group a lot. We have some good members and some pretty faithful listeners, and I'm sure you'll get some listeners out of here too, so it'll be a good thing.
Any infiltrators come in?
We've had about... Ooh, you got me on hold? Ab? Can you hear
James,
me?
James, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ab, you hit the wrong thing. You got to hit add to conference next time. Remember that little
grid? I think I did. Sorry about that.
It put me on hold, but we're all here now, right?
Who else is here?
Robin. Yeah, Robin, James, me, and you. The four of us are here now. We're all set now.
Okay. Who's all fuzzy?
I think it's still Robin.
I've got you on hold on the other line here. Let me hang up on that.
Hang up that other one. Just hit the red tab.
Be picking up some bandwidth there.
Okay, Robin. Robin was fuzzy. Okay.
Yeah. Am I still fuzzy?
Yeah, really bad.
A little bit. You're okay now. How about James Sloan from New Zealand, I believe. James, can you hear us?
Yep.
Oh, good. Well, we got a big conference call. United Nations here.
Why don't we try and reconnect Robin real quick, just so maybe we get a clearer connection?
Robin, I think Robin's okay. Robin, can you say something?
Right. Yeah, am I not coming through?
No, you're coming through. It's just a little background noise. We'll be all right.
Oh, okay.
I'll save this group in the contacts. That way, if we get blown away again, it's a one click to get you back. Right, Brian?
Yeah, definitely.
So, James, how's the weather in New Zealand, and how... How did you find out about 9/11?
Oh, the weather's all right. I broke onto 9/11 about, I'd say, seven or eight years ago, and I was still sort of in high school. You know, it's actually funny because Brian's got a son who's about the age that I was when I got into it. So it's like, yeah, it was a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, in regards to the stuff you're talking about the airplanes, I mean, I was on the loose change level for years, you know, because back then, 2004, 2005, there wasn't a lot of it. September Clues hadn't come out yet. And at that time, I was just a member of the Let's Roll forums at that time. And eventually became a moderator there before I sort of fell out with the administrator there. But yeah, I've been doing it for a number of years. And actually met Brian through Let's Roll forums, but we've done some radio work this year. And yeah, I've known him about a year now.
Right, yeah, I heard you on Brian's show, actually. Oh, okay. Very good, very good. Brian, do you want to carry on with the webpage, 911thehoaxuncovered.html? Or did you have some other direction you wanted to go?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and we'll get back to the webpage. I don't want to stick on it too much and make people point and click and let them hear a little bit to talk. A lot of people have a question, well, you know, what about all the people that were supposedly in the towers? I mean, how could they lie to, you know, 50,000 people and have them play along with this lie that they were working that day or whatever? And the towers had severe occupancy problems for many, many years. It's well documented, too, that there were many tenants that had moved out of that tower, especially since after the 93 bombing. And it just seems more of like they had an illusion set up where they would have many, many ghost companies. I mean, there were floors that weren't even finished inside the building. The elevators, oddly enough, didn't even stop on the floors where the impact zone were, which is very odd. And they would have a subway in the basement that would bring in a few hundred thousand people a day. They'd let people go upstairs to the observation deck and to the Windows of the World restaurant. And that would bring foot traffic up and down, in and out, in and out. If you've got a few hundred thousand people coming in and out of a building a day, you're not really going to have any suspicion that it's not a real, you know, packed office building. And I'm not saying there weren't any real companies in there, but for the most part, a lot of those offices and stuff that we were told were in there were not in those buildings. When they were built, they knew what they were building them for. They weren't building them to keep them full. They were building them to use as part of this illusion.
Yeah, you think they were built for the express purpose of this whole thing? This was way planned in advance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I got some 9/11 predictive program and stuff I want to show you guys after where, I mean, even going back into the 1970s, we have images of the towers being on fire in almost the same exact place that they were on fire. And it's just pretty absolutely ridiculous. I know that, you know, some of the people know something. Like we were talking about Scott Forbes earlier. James, maybe you could chime in a little bit on your little debunking of Scott Forbes' power down theory by the video that was shot, you know, just the night before or whatever. You know a little better about that than I do. Maybe if you could touch on that, that'd be great.
Yes, I actually confronted Fitz about this. He said, I don't know exactly what the days were, but it was allegedly a power down from the Friday evening to the Sunday afternoon. And at least half of the south, either north or south tower, I can't remember which one, but there was a music video shot three or four days over the course of that weekend. Ryan Adams' New York, New York song, and the building's lit up like a Christmas tree. You know, it's at nighttime, you know. The building would be, you know, in dark if that was the case. Also, we have numerous tickets of people who visited the observation deck over the course of that weekend. Indeed, you know, I think 100,000 people on an average weekend visited that. It was a very popular tourist attraction, you know. Regardless of the occupancy of the tower, certainly it was a very popular tourist destination, and you would have 100,000 people that would be turned away from that observation deck, you know, the weekend just before 9/11, and you know, where are all those people? I mean, there would be 100,000 people, you know, with their own little story. They would find that very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he that show that he was on Fetzer at least once that I listened to, and he was definitely pretty hard to believe, definitely. And he was one that said he saw the plane come at him in the tower, which is just ridiculous.
Did you hear the part of that interview where he tried to say that he watched the collapse and he heard it before he saw it, and he tried to tell Fetzer that a sound travels faster than light? He said that three times. Fetzer had to correct him three times. He made himself sound like an absolute idiot.
Yeah, Fetzer. James, do you listen to a lot of Fetzer's stuff?
Well, I listen to a few of them. I mean, he's someone that's been around for a very long time, you know. But he's a total shell as far as I'm concerned.
And he's one of the only radio shows that really talks about 9/11 at all, don't you? Do you agree with that, or is there somebody I'm missing?
There have been a few guys over the years, but as far as people that are still going now, there's not many. Who 9/11 are their bread and butter? There's not many.
Yeah, there's not many at all. Yeah, there's like us, there's you, there's a few people. One thing I want to add also is when James is talking about, you know, the tourists and stuff, that's one of the reasons why they did the attack so early. Those tourist attractions, the observation deck and the Windows of the World, they didn't open till 9:30. So to have the attacks happen at 8:43 and 9:16 or whatever it was, well, there's your perfect excuse not to let anybody in the building without them getting suspicious. A friggin' airplane hit the building is all you got to tell them. We're closed. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think anyone was near the buildings that day. Like I said,
I don't think so either. I think they were pushed farther up the streets. I think they were. And we've had Nick from New York, a witness that we had on, that was a witness to some of the barricades and some of the chicanery going on, like some of the vehicles being towed out. They weren't like what you saw on TV. They were just covered in dust. They weren't crushed or anything like that. He went to a trauma center that they had set up to help out, and they had him flipping hamburgers the whole time. Didn't see one victim come through there. I don't know. I do tend to believe exactly what you just said, that I don't think anybody was near the towers. The only thing that I think I really want to find out that we might never find out is what is the exact excuse that they used to get the people that were really close by in the businesses out of there specifically without them getting suspicious. And like you said, it could have been a fire alarm, a gas leak, whatever. It could be a million things. I would like to know that. If anybody has any insight on that or has talked to anybody that knows anything else about that, please let us know, because that's something that's really kind of boggling my mind.
Yeah. James, go ahead, James.
Well, yeah, when I mean, that area was fairly industrial. I mean, I don't think there was a hell of a lot of coffee shops or places like that, but there was, I understand, a shopping mall underneath the World Trade Center. There are some home videos here and there. I mean, there's thousands of home videos of people visiting the observation decks on YouTube. I mean, that part of the complex was definitely, you know, that was the moneymaker, you know, the Windows on the World restaurant and the observation deck on the opposite tower. But as far as the shopping mall underneath, you would have to think there would be people that would be heading there around 6, 7 in the morning to open their business. And you have to think that they used some sort of excuse to evacuate those people. It must have happened around 7, 8 in the morning. I think it's a bit much to think that they caught in that area off from midnight onwards, but I definitely think 6 or 7 in the morning, probably, maybe 8. I'm not exactly sure how they did it, though.
I think that's also why they had the second plane come in from the south as well. Because, you know what I mean, they could say that people didn't see it because it was on the back side of the building, and that whole park underneath the building where you hear the people screaming, Battery Park or whatever it's called, I'm sure that's pretty much all, you know, just dubbed in audio, you know what I mean?
Well, that's just a movie. I don't think anyone was even near there. Let's just go around the table here, because let's start with James, and what do you think of the question that, do you think the 9/11 hoax is pretty much sealed in history, that there's just not enough people like us talking about it? It's never going to break through the people's minds, and it's going to go down like JFK. If you believe JFK was a hoax, which I'm starting to think it probably was. Do you think, James, that this is going to be sealed in history now as a done deal?
Well, I think particularly Osama bin Laden allegedly dying, you know, just before the 10th anniversary. And the 10th anniversary, obviously, was probably going to be the last big one. I really think that wrapped it up in a neat little package for a lot of people. You know, they weren't really interested in it anymore after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the anniversaries will be much a big deal anymore, except maybe the 20th or the 25th or whatever. You know, they're not going to make a huge deal about it anymore. But I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing some progress. I mean, when I go on YouTube videos and things, I do openly see people commenting, you know, that's a fake video, you know. And they get a lot of likes, you know, whereas it wasn't even discussed before. So we're making some headway, but I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do about it anyway, because everything's controlled, you know, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Robin, you're on the line still. What do you think of this, Robin? Do you think it's pretty much sealed in people's minds, the official story?
Yeah, I very much believe it's sealed. And like what James was saying, that they wrapped it up pretty politely. So for a lot of extra people, that will have stopped them from thinking any further on it. So I think it's wrote in history the way it's going to go.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. It's sealed. What do you think, Brian? You think we're just pissing in the wind?
I don't think so. I think it's a hell of an uphill battle. I don't think it's a sealed deal that we'll never get it out there. I just think that times are a little different now than they were with JFK and the moon and these other things. It's just so much easier to spread information. It is also easier to put a bunch of BS out there and dilute the information too. So, I mean, it can go both ways. But look, we got guys right now where you're in Canada, I'm in America, James is in New Zealand, I don't know where Robin is, and we're able to at least connect across the world and hash some of these things out. And I mean, if we can each get through to 10, 20 people, and hopefully they can even get through to, you know, 1 to 5 people each, I mean, maybe we can at least create enough distrust in the media where people will start to use their own brain. Maybe they won't totally be into the whole, you know, the whole facts of 9/11, but I think there's enough here where if you can get them to look at enough of it, I think maybe you can get them to realize that, man, they're probably lied to about just about everything on TV. The television is just such programming, and I think that's a battle that we can kind of fight. I mean, I don't know if we can win it, but I think we can get a lot of people to realize that, you know, the news isn't really the news. The news is more like the propaganda. I just wish it was easier to get people to realize how unjust these wars are and how we are the aggressor and these people didn't do crap to us, you know? And what I don't understand is the people that will fight about it so passionately with you. They'll call you un-American, or they'll call you this, they'll call you that. And, you know, after 9 or 10 comments, you'll be like, well, did you click on that link that I showed you? It's only a 30-second thing. I'm not looking at that. That's a bunch of bull crap. YouTube, we had this one guy call, YouTube isn't research, yada, yada, yada. Well, when they're using a bunch of fake video, and the fake video is reposted up on the internet, that kind of is part of the research. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Do I think we're going to get the history books changed? No, of course not. It's going to go down as the way they said it went down. But can we get more and more people doubting it? Like James was saying with YouTube, with the people commenting, I've noticed there is a huge difference between, like, the Facebook crowd and the YouTube crowd. like the Facebook crowd is just such zombies and don't want to hear it, and you almost have to talk about it in your own groups, because when you talk about it on your own page, almost nobody chimes in. When you go on YouTube, you do see a lot of these comments under these videos. That's a fake video. That's bullcrap. That's CGI. And I get real encouraged by that. I make sure I always comment in or chime in on those videos or try and add those people to my channel. And that's where I originally found some of the stuff. It was before... It was after seeing September Clues and stuff, but it was before getting into too much of the other media fakery. It was just a few random people's YouTube channels. They had some videos up there that absolutely showed that there was some Hollywood-type stuff going on. And it made me really start digging and asking more questions. And then I started to notice the people that I tried to present some of this information to totally turned on me. And then that's something you'll notice in the whole truth movement. Once you start talking about fake video, everybody turns on you. I mean, to an extreme point. To the point where they even blame me for 9/11. I mean, come on, you know? Just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Where do you guys, let's go back to James, where do you stand on JFK? Because next year will be the 50th anniversary. And I was pretty much buying that there was all kinds of groups that pointed their guns at him. But is it possible, since TV really started in the 50s, and maybe there was enough people by 1963 that had televisions, although I don't know what the saturation level was of televisions, but maybe the TV was brought in all along to be that telescreen that controls people. So maybe nobody ever had a chance to get used to the TV before it was being used as a bit of a weapon of mass deception. So maybe the whole imagery that we saw of JFK getting shot, especially with his Zapruder later, was fake, and maybe that whole thing was fake. So now look at us. We're 50 years later, and there's no movement on that. Where we have different theories batting against each other. Start with the crazy theory about the one lone gunman, and then all the competing theories about who did it. So we're no further ahead, though. So James, do you think JFK was just proof that 9/11 is going to be in the same position 50 years later? And do you think it was fake?
I'm leaning more and more towards that. Yeah, I don't. I mean, just the whole thing. I mean, what we know about the occult, what we know about this, that, and the other. A president doesn't have the level of power that would warrant such a thing. He didn't have any power. He didn't. The presidents are just puppets, you know. That, like, they wouldn't need to take him out. Like, he didn't represent a significant threat to them. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he did not die that day. I definitely think that they put on some sort of a show and then on the streets out there, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he didn't die that day.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100% with what he said. 100%. And if you look at the killing of his brother, too. I'm sorry, Robin. I didn't know you were next. My bad. If you look at the killing of his brother, too, it looks totally fake. Bobby Kennedy, and the shooting of Harvey Oswald in the police station. But the only thing that sucks about JFK, the only reason I haven't got into it yet, is look at how much layers of deception there are on 9/11 after a decade that we have to dig through to get through the truth. I could only imagine the layers of deception around JFK. It's been around so long and so much bullcrap out there. I mean, there's books that are thousands of pages and all types of documentaries. And who knows how many fake videos and how many bullcrap theories. It's like, I don't even know if I have the energy to get into JFK right now after 9/11 to tell you the truth.
But it was almost a template for 9/11, right? It was almost a template for 9/11. They had the first impression, the first alleged live shots. Okay, they had all the anchormen doing the same exact thing. Okay, Walter Cronkite practically crying on the air. Okay, and then a couple years later, I don't know how much later, the Zapruder film came out. All right, so amateur footage, same thing. And then they had the Warren Commission, which, again, with 9/11, the 9/11 Commission. Okay, and there's lots of controversy about who was on the commission, just like the 9/11 Commission. It's almost a template. I don't know how people can't just line those two things up pretty easily. Now, we're 50 years later, so we're less interested in it. It's a stale, dead story as far as we're concerned, because all the actors are long gone.
Yeah.
Or most of them. But I don't see what the parallels are amazing between the two things, aren't they?
Oh, they are. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. I just don't jump all over it just because if it gets into heated debates about facts of JFK, I just don't have them on the top of my head like I do about 9/11, you know? But I wouldn't doubt anything you're saying. I'm totally on board with what you're saying. I just would need to see more proof of it. But I would totally tend to lean towards it being complete BS. Complete BS. I'm sorry, Robin. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. What were your thoughts on it?
What is it? The shooting? On the assassination?
JFK, did you hear my spiel? Hear my spiel about JFK, all the parallels? They're amazing. It's a template for 9/11, really.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's that should be something people clue into. But these things get pulled off on such degrees, because it's not just these two. It's probably many others that have the same template as well, bigger, smaller template. But
the moon.
I don't think people have enough time to get their head around what just happened before another one gets pulled off. And so that's why I think a lot of these go down in the history books as they are. Is by the time that you really figure this out, like 9/11, they're already ready to have like another one go down, I think. So it's like there's always something there to just stop you from going further into it.
But if they space them out 50 years, everyone who thought about it's long gone.
That too, yeah. Right? Yeah, but They've had other hoaxes that they've pulled on the public since, and other things that they've tried to do, which really has taken a lot of heat off of the subject itself, like the assassination.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning. So it was actually 12 years later that the Zapruder film was screened on television, and Zapruder was allegedly dead by that point. So, that film is totally doctored. There's a lot of manipulation in that video.
Well, they had 12 years to work on it. That's a long time. What did they do? Wait for some new techniques to come in?
Probably.
New machines to come in? Yeah. We're not really talking computers back then in the 70s for that. Maybe they did have them for that.
Maybe they did, you know. We just didn't know until years later, you know, how that goes.
Yeah, I'm sure they had some basic computers.
Yeah, of course. But I'm not... Yeah, of course. But... So I guess all three of us are pretty on board about JFK, the moon hoax.
The moon hoax is an easy one. I'd like to touch on that real quick. After looking at 9/11 for say a year or so, I decided to get into the moon hoax. That takes a couple of nights. It takes a couple of nights to be convinced that that was bullshit. I'm sorry. I mean, there's just. I mean, of course, I looked longer than a couple of nights, but I mean, within like the second or third night of looking at all the fake scenery that they moved around, you can see wires picking the guys up. The Lunar Lander looks like it's made out of construction paper and paper mache and duct tape.
Yeah.
And all the lighting issues and have you seen the a funny thing happen on the way to the moon?
I have. What?
Yeah, and then astronauts gone wild. I mean, there's some pretty incriminating stuff in there. They took those off YouTube, I had to re-download the torrents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they deleted them from YouTube. Just a hint to you guys, I went on YouTube yesterday, and I had about 30 9/11 videos deleted. I was able to remember what some of them were, seek them out other places, re-download them, and then put them on my hard drive, but... I should have backed up everything a lot earlier. If you guys have some good 9/11 videos, moon videos, whatever, start downloading your stuff. Don't just save them to your YouTube, because YouTube's erasing a lot of stuff lately.
Really?
I think it is.
Yeah, worth. Robin has some stuff. Robin has some stuff on YouTube that's been fooled with, right, Robin?
Yeah, they've just now limited my account for the second time because I get agents come around my account and start stuff and flag my videos. So that's it's pretty apparent too. Never had any of these problems when I was fitting in talking about the normal things, but as soon as you jump out of that line and start saying, "Hey, everyone, maybe you should think about this," you just, it goes haywire from there. So yeah, I've had good YouTube account hit so far, and one more and it gets deleted. So
I would like to play the classic fake witness if I could, if you guys don't mind. I'm sure you guys have all heard him, the Holly guy on 9/11, but for the people that haven't, this just goes to show you how set up this event was. Let me just preface it by saying, in the history of the world, no steel frame building has ever come down from fire. I think we all know that now if we've been looking into 9/11. Okay, it just doesn't happen.
No doubt.
And you got this witness on the street that allegedly saw both airplanes, and then he saw both collapses, and he saw the collapses come down mostly due to structural failure because the heat was just too intense from the fire. And that's the words that actually come out of his mouth. Like, anybody on the street would actually say that, especially when that's never happened in the history of the world. Do you mind if I play that video real quick?
No, go. Or you want to give it to me and I get the better audio? Okay.
I already pressed play. Here we go.
Humbling down. We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
From the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th truck, those guys were all right there at ground zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there, and hopefully they made it out.
What was happening around you, in the streets around you, as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint up 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back. And then several minutes after, it looked like it had just snowed over the entire area.
Yeah, the debris, the soot was thick on the street. There's still a dusting of it out here. But when I was standing here and the towers collapsed, we saw police officers running for their lives, screaming, "Get back, get back, get back." And I'll tell you, that's a wake-up call when you see cops running for their lives. And people, too, women's pushing baby carriages, that sort of thing.
Well, you had the first tower first. That one, when that first went down, it just pushed everybody back. And it was a good 15 minutes before the second tower finally collapsed.
Yeah.
And it was just overwhelming. And by that point, it was just insane.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of similar stories from people who were inside the building. One gentleman we spoke to earlier today, John, was on the 77th floor and said it was a relatively orderly evacuation at that point after the first plane hit the first tower. Everyone going down the stairs, not a lot of panic. But when they got to the 6th floor, he says they felt a second shake. And then people started to really be concerned. Obviously, there were people in the building at the time of this, and some of those people, they haven't recovered them yet, and that's a big issue right now, is trying to get the rescue workers and the emergency crews to the building. There were police officers there and emergency crews there when this was all happening, and they were right at ground zero when it all went down. So can we talk to you? What's your role out here right now?
I'm just standing by right now. Can't say what role I'm playing right now.
Well, there's a lot of standing by. There's also concern that some of these other buildings might actually come down. This building right here with the glass that you see, the nearest tall building, that has structural damage as well. We saw a lot of glass broken out, and a corner of the building appeared to be in distress, and there's concern that there might actually be another collapse of that building.
So that's the infamous Holly guy. What a load of crap.
That's a classic.
That is a classic.
Yeah, that one is the... That one's the most blatantly ridiculous one. That was beautiful, though. And I heard that witness was in that guy, I can't remember his name, Brian Walsh or something, or Welts. He was all over the place. He was at the Pentagon. He was everywhere. In other words, obviously it was all done a long time before. Long time before, right?
Oh, yeah.
They talk about buildings collapsing like it's inevitable, like it's something that happens every day, you know?
Something that's never happened, yeah.
Yeah, something that's never ever happened, and this guy is talking about it like...
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, we got some good media going back and forth here. This is pretty good. This will be a nice archive for anyone who wants to just hear real people talk about 9/11. Don't get this too often anymore, huh?
Yeah, this is how I usually try and do the shows, you know, have a bunch of clips ready so when I'm explaining them to people, they can actually see them, hear them, and, you know, show people the images that we're talking about, and it just makes it a lot easier for people to understand, you know? It definitely takes a lot more show prep than if you just went on the radio and started talking. I mean, you got to spend a few hours setting up the website, but it's well worth it. We've done some pretty big 9/11 shows where we've gone for 5 or 6 hours and just had a ton of stuff up there. And if the people actually took the time to go through one of those long shows and look at the evidence, I mean, I don't see how they could deny any of it and go back the other way. We need a new strategy. Maybe we can come up with this together, guys. We need a new strategy on how to get people to take that goddamn first look, you know? That's the big thing.
Yeah.
How to hook the people in originally and just get them to take, even to get them to take 15 minutes to look and think, wow, wait, what am I looking at here? This isn't real, you know? And it's just so hard. I don't know if you guys have come up with some other strategies that I haven't, or, you know, maybe we could exchange some ideas on that. But that's the hard part for me. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, if I could flip anyone over, I would tell everyone how I did it. But I haven't had any success. So you sound like you've had more success than I have with certain people. So, but I do think that of all the fake events, 9/11 is the easiest one to use as an example. Because I think it's so important. People always say, well, who cares? It was now 11 years ago. What does it matter? Well, I said, well, it does matter because things are being faked this week, last week, the week before. They're all, a lot of them are minor, but wouldn't you like to know that? Isn't that important? So I can't really convince you that Fukushima was fake because there's a lot less information to go on, right? We're not there. And they really cut back on the information that they release for the simple reason that they see 9/11. It's easy to pick apart all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I think they have too many people working on it, you know? I really do.
The bigger it is, the more little things, whether they put them in deliberately or not, who cares? There's just so many. You've got the top 100, but there's probably 1,000 little things that are wrong, right?
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. James, you know, I brought up earlier about Ace Baker and Nico Haupt and the Web Theory about how they were put out there to make the whole no plane movement look bad and everything, and were there any other ones before them, and whenabouts did they come around and start with their nonsense? Because you've been doing this forever. You would know better than I would.
Well, apparently Ace was around in the 2001. I'm not sure. I don't remember seeing him. But there was, I mean, there's been a whole bunch of things. I mean, the whole thing with the no plane thing is that, you know, it's always been okay to be a no planer as long as it's for 2 out of 4 of the events, you know. With Shanksville and the Pentagon, then that's fine, you know. But come hell or high water, it can't be a Fly 11 or Fly 175. But there was definitely the pod theory, the pod and flash, the Let's Roll forums, the Jahan theory, which even he's at the Renegade, even he's a no planer now. But apart from them, I can't think of too many. I mean, they say that in regards to what you said about converting people, I mean, for so long the truth movement has told us that the planes are the last things we should talk about. I think the planes are the first things we should talk about because that is the main event of 9/11, planes crashing into buildings. I mean, that's what everybody remembers. The building's coming down also, but so the plane crash is the main one. And I think a great place to start is that, apart from the pictures of the plane halfway in the tower, is the fact that several commercial airliners can't fly that fast at that altitude. It's equivalent to flying 1,600 miles an hour at 35,000 feet because the air is three times as dense at sea level, which is, you know, 1,000 feet is practically sea level. And I think that's a great place to start because my friend Luke actually has done some work and he's got some legal documents from LIRA that actually that prove that point. And that's a great place to start because it's a starting point after the hijacking is an aircraft hitting a building. And I think that's a great place to start.
And guys, let's be serious here, right? You guys all know what a box cutter looks like, right?
Uh-huh.
Would you let somebody carjack you with a box cutter? Probably not. I'd probably punch the guy
right
in the face.
Yeah, well, that's...
Do you think four guys are going to hijack an airplane full of people? Like, say the four of us were on an airplane. None of us have to be big, huge, tough guys. Nobody's saying that. We're just four regular guys. Just the four regular guys of us on an airplane. You think we're going to sit there and let four hijackers take it over with box cutters, knowing they're going to crash the plane? Box cutters? Like, have you never been in a fight where somebody pulled a knife on you or anything? What's a box cutter going to do? Like, you'd really have to get behind somebody and slice their throat. Like, those people would get tackled and beat down. And not only that, but for it to happen four times on four planes on the same day, I mean, it's just absurd. They should have at least made the story like they somehow got guns snuck on there or something. Like, box cutters?
Mm-hmm. Well, they almost covered that story with Flight 93, though, you see. I think they, of course, did. That was part of the movie, and they did the movie. They did the rest of the movie as a Hollywood release, of course. But I think your point about that is right, but they sort of are answering your question saying, yeah, these guys did try and take these guys with box cutters out, and look what happened. The plane crashed.
Not initially.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the key point, particularly in such a confined space. I mean, and then the crew would hear them coming, you know, the cockpit. I mean, they shut the door, you know. I mean, it's absurd.
Okay.
But then again, you know, you could also form a straw man argument that perhaps because they hijacked from first class, you know, perhaps the people in there were a little more pansy, you know, less likely to fight back. But, but it's definitely a valid point. And even the people that they depicted were not big guys at all. I mean, they were small men. Well, they would have been small men, you know. But just even before that, it's outrageous that 19 different people could sneak box cutters onto a plane and not one of them, and let's face it, suspicious-looking guys, and not one of them set off a metal detector, not one of them was subject to an advanced pat-down or screening. I mean, I traveled extensively overseas before 9/11, and airport security wasn't a joke before 9/11. It was pretty, it just wasn't quite as extreme as it is now, but I don't think you could get box cutters on planes.
Yeah, maybe 2 out of 19, but not 19 out of 19. You know what I mean? Maybe a couple could slip through.
Yeah.
And the other thing... Yeah.
James, let me ask... Go ahead, Ab. Well, I wanted to ask James something, because I haven't talked to too many people in New Zealand before, and we can get back to things that we can use to convince others that don't believe. But James, do you have many media fakeries, if any at all, in New Zealand on small scales that we don't hear over here in North America? Or do you follow that as well?
Yeah, there are some that I've been suspicious of. But it's very difficult to know. The media have been caught in Australia a couple of times doing blue screen things. You know, not like a fake event per se, but pretending to be at a crime scene, for example. They shot it in a studio and they used a blue screen. They've been caught doing some things like that. I mean, I definitely think it's happening, but to what extent, I don't know.
Probably a lot less, because the population is so much less over there.
Yeah, definitely.
But I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, we had an earthquake over here a couple of years ago, and I saw some things on the news, some clips that I really thought were staged, like that people were acting.
Was there real damage during your earthquake? Were you able to figure that out, confirm it in any way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, much of the city was destroyed, but... Well, I think it was a real event, but I think there may have been some acting or something.
I think a lot of that went on with Japan, too. I think there was a real earthquake, but I think a lot of the tsunami video we saw was bullshit.
Oh, no doubt.
I saw definitely fake tsunami video.
I'm just curious. You said the city was destroyed. Do you think it was destroyed by the earthquake, or they maybe just used the time to set off some explosives and take out areas that they needed rebuilt, like a land clearing?
No, it was, I'm pretty sure it was an earthquake. I mean, but it may very well have been Harp or something like that. So far as I know, it's not my city. I mean, I wasn't there, so I mean, I don't know. But I mean, you really can't talk about that sort of thing. I mean, you know, just in your own country, I'd imagine, like in England, running around talking about 7/7. You know, I'd imagine a lot of people would object to it. You know, it's the same kind of thing. Or even with 9/11 in America, I mean, it's hard to talk about it.
Look at me, man. I live 200 miles from where 9/11 went down or whatever, and nobody wants to talk to me about it. But everybody come around 9/11 time wants to be all passionate and act like a patriot and all this bullcrap.
Well, even on the internet, there's not a lot of people around the world to get together. We're proof of it. There just aren't a lot of people.
There really aren't, man. I mean, I've been trying to reach out to everybody I can. I've even had people I know more shills on the show just to kind of expose them to people, you know. There's just not really much else to go to from here. It's like, I think the best thing we can do is come up with a new strategy to bait new people in. I think right now that's what I'm going to try and work on. Whether it's write a new blog that's kind of basic, maybe make a short video. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do right now, you know. I need some ideas here.
Well, just keep doing your show. That's the main thing, and cross-promote, cross-pollinate, and try and get a guest on, share the guest around, pass them around, right? Or have some co-hosts, guest co-hosts. I can come on, maybe ask a few questions. You know that there's other good people.
Yeah,
like
we've had some pretty good shows, and we've had some people, you know, that I don't trust, some people that I maybe trust, and people I do trust, you know. I mean, I've had, you know, I've had, you know, all the, you know, James on and Justin, of course. But we had Fetzer on. We had Simon Shack on. I called Dr. Judy Woods one time to call her out on the phone. I don't know if you heard that one. But, you know, we've had some people.
No, you talked to her? You recorded that?
Oh, yeah. I got a recording of it. We could even play it tonight if you want. She was on Late Night in the Midlands. And I'm going to call her out. All right. Well, listen, when I play it, what's going to happen?
Dig that up.
I'll dig it up, but what's going to happen is it's a 10-minute call. You're going to hear them disconnect with me after about 4 minutes, but by about the fifth minute, they put me back on the air. So don't like turn it down. It's going to come back on. They're going to disconnect. I'm going to disconnect, but it's going to let me back on. And I just asked her some basic questions, and you'll see. What's that?
Let me just play my 1 minute bumper before you play your 10-minute one, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead. All right. I gotta go grab it anyways.
You're listening to Wake Up with Ab. On this show, we talk about the biggest media hoax of our time, 9/11, and all the children media hoaxes she's spawned since then. You can call us at 518-907-4904 or at Skype contact ab.arado99. We're streaming 24 hours a day from radio.abarado.info, the same place you can find all of our archives. The show is usually live Saturdays at 8 p.m., but we may live broadcast any evening time as guests become available. Don't miss these shows by signing up at radio.apparato.info to be notified by email. Now, on with the show.
All right, Al. All right. I got it queued up if you want me to roll right into it.
Just a sec here. Just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Wake Up With Ab, and it's Saturday, November 24th. And we've been going for 2 hours, 46 minutes. Pretty good call. Great guest, Brian Stavely. He's got his own show, Dose of Reality. Check it out. Most Wednesdays, I believe, at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, rather.
Usually about 10, sometimes 9. 10 usually o'clock.
10. Yeah. It's a little late for me, unfortunately, but I do listen to the downloads. I think a lot of people listen to downloads now anyway, so it's just easier for most people. Yeah, and we've also got two others on the call, Robin and James. Robin from Canada, James from New Zealand. So we're now going to listen to the Judy Wood 10-minute call, and I think we should go maybe another half an hour before start to nod off and off.
That sounds good. I definitely got one other thing I want to get into after this, but let me just preface this call is what I try to do is some of the, you know, the bigger gatekeepers of some of the more theories that they throw out there, I try and kind of confront them a little bit. I don't do it too confrontational because they'll obviously just hang up with me and I won't get much out of it, but I pretty much ask them questions that I know that they can't answer. And you'll hear Judy Wood really bounce around the bush, especially on the second half of the call. After about 4 minutes, you'll hear me disconnect, but they do put me right back on after about a minute. It's about a 9-minute call altogether. Definitely worth a listen.
Yeah, you should mention who she is. You better mention who she is.
Dr. Judy Wood is the one that has the theory that the towers were taken out with a directed energy weapon, and they basically turned to dust in midair, and everything got vaporized, that whole theory. That's who Dr. Judy Wood is.
She was a beauty. She had me going for a while.
All right, well, let's try to get in another call. We've got Brian in Massachusetts. You're on late night delivery. A lot of Brian's coming.
Hey, how you doing, Judy Wood? How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you.
Hi, Brian.
I just have a few questions for you. I've gone down a lot of the 9/11 rabbit trails, and there's just so many conspiracy theories to follow and stuff. And I actually, it was a phone call that I heard from Jesse Van Boer, actually talking very highly of your book, and I decided to look at some of your stuff. I have a few questions about some of the things that, you know, a lot of your work is, you know, all those cars that are, you know, blown up outside the World Trade Center. A lot of those cars, to me, I mean, you know, I don't see how an energy weapon does that. Those cars look like they came straight from the junkyard. Like, they don't have any license plates on them or anything like that. I mean, are we sure these are legit images that we're looking at? What we're seeing with these cars blown up aren't really, you know, legit images, and you're basing this off of that.
I call them toasty cars, not blown up cars. Toasty cars, toast. They're history. You can't fix it. You got to get another one. You know, you can't repair it, so it's toast. I'm not defining what exactly happened to it. Whether, you know, it's not a conventional fire, and it didn't explode. You know, lit up. But I've got pictures of. The car before, during, and after it's been toasted. There's one car, I didn't see the before picture until later on. I thought it was a white car. Uh-oh, it was a black car beforehand. There's a sea of unburned paper between these cars and the WTC complex. The paper didn't catch fire, but the car just kind of lit up in spontaneous combustion. The apparent spontaneous combustion.
Right. And we lost Brian. I just want to make sure. Brian, let Brian know if you want to get that other question, then you can call back in. I'll put you back on. I don't know what happened there.
Well, I didn't the connection seemed kind of... the connection seemed like it was dropping in and out, so it's...
Yeah.
the bandwidth problem or something.
Okay. So, basically, you know, people have said, you hear all different kinds of stories. The cars blew up and this and that, but they didn't actually blow up. I mean, the gas tanks were intact, correct?
Yeah, and that's another thing that makes it different from where your car fires. Car fires, you see a missing, lid for the gas tank, and, looks like it's blown out. But see, the gas tank lid is still in place and pristine, in the back of the police car, looks like it has a new wax job on it. There's plenty of people who have opinions. There's lots of opinions. But it doesn't come with discussing, particular piece of evidence. There's also people who don't want the results, don't like the conclusion, and want to make up a new conclusion or something, and because they mostly maybe can't handle this. So they're trying to find every explanation they can think of. And my brother was that way for a while. He's trying to find every impossible explanation to the point of, suddenly eating pigeon poop from the cars a half mile away. They're really, really trying hard. Like, okay, how do you ignite it? Oh, maybe a guy came by with a cigar and...
Yeah. We got Brian back, so Brian, I'm going to bring you back on. Okay, yeah.
Hey guys, I had a lot of issues.
I
had a few questions. Like, why if they use this high-tech, weaponry, this directed why is it that would totally obliterate all the contents inside the building except for, paper? Like, what is it about paper that makes it so it doesn't get destroyed? I know that might sound like an odd question, but, like what's the significance that it wouldn't destroy all that paper that we saw flying through the air?
Let's look at some differences you have with paper and other things. Paper isn't very conductive. Paper isn't flying around and isn't contacting something much either.
But I mean, people stored in file cabinets inside the towers when they first got hit and got dustified or whatever.
But if a file cabinet kind of got, tossed about, the stuff's going to come out of it.
Huh.
I'm just looking at, possibilities. The paper seems to be kind of free-floating. And it could be conductive. Like, you can put a paper towel, in, as long as it's dry, put a paper towel in your microwave oven, it doesn't heat up.
Okay. Now, in your opinion, how many buildings exactly were dustified on that day, on 9/11? How many World Trade Center buildings were?
This is my opinion. This is, I go by evidence. And there were 7 buildings destroyed that day. And there was an 8th one that was infected, and they repaired it. And then they realized that it still had a problem, so they ended up taking it apart, taking it back down. That was Baker's Trust. You know, they repaired Baker's Trust, and then they decided to dismantle it.
Yeah.
So, do you think that this weapon is so powerful that it could actually justify not only these 2 huge skyscrapers and... as we know, there were other World Trade Center complex buildings that, a lot of people don't even know about. A lot of people know about 1, 2, and 7, but, there was 4, 5, 6. There was a bunch of buildings that got destroyed by that day. Obviously, it wasn't 2 airplanes that took it out. Obviously. That's just a preposterous tale. But do you think that, that's why there's no remains? There's no remains because everything just got totally inside the building. Like, how strong is this weapon to be able to do that? I would think that there would need to be, just multiple, I don't want to say lasers, because I know that's not the term you use. You use, directed energy. I would think there would need to be,
hundreds
of these weapons to get the powers at once.
This isn't a line of sight type of directed energy weapon. This isn't like lasers, lasers, and that type of thing. This is field interference of field effects. It's defined as to what, area is going to be affecting. So it's very...
I don't mean it doesn't have to have a direct line like aiming on the tower, but even with intersecting energy fields or whatever it would do, wouldn't it take the power of just, so many of these weapons to take those buildings down like that?
I'm looking at the evidence. I don't look at the conclusion to look backwards. I look at the evidence to see what happened. The empirical evidence shows that the towers were turned to dust. And, you know, there's this common argument that people would come up with saying, well, no weapon could be that powerful. So what, do you think the towers are still there? Yeah, like there's this Greg Jenkins, gimmick. He had to make assumptions in order to calculate how much energy would be required. If it's a free energy device, hey, it gives energy. It doesn't take and use energy. But you know, if you were saying it took five times the Earth's total output of energy, and well, then that means the stars are still there then. Or is he saying that the energy came from outer space, or what? But in order to calculate how much energy is required, you're making assumptions. You're speculating on what the mechanism was. I'm not speculating. I am just stating empirical evidence. The towers turned to dust. We don't need to know how it happened in order to determine that it did happen.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah, Brian, thank you for your call. I hope that helps, but we're getting low on time, and I want to try to get a couple more in. So we got Matthew in Wisconsin. You're on Late Night in the Midlands, Matthew.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Judy. Right, it's Matt from Milwaukee here, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was a little hard to hear because I guess her line wasn't that great. But, yeah, she's good at confusing, definitely good at confusing. And the other thing is, I suppose all these controlled oppositions, they pick fights with each other over the silliest, stupidest thing.
Oh, that's
thing,
so fake.
So they don't have to talk
fake
to each other?
James, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. There's a couple of guys in 9/11 that won't mention names, but the prominent guys that have basically fallen out with every single person there is to fall out with.
Yeah, they just fight with everyone to make the whole industry look like a big mess.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the crap that I had to take for a little bit. It was like, I was about to get blamed for crucifying Jesus next. I mean, my family
I read some of that. Actually, the only good thing about that fight you had with the various in the various places, it just drew attention to your show. Otherwise, it may not have looked into it. But I thought, okay, well, why are they after this guy? Let's listen to him. And I listened to him, and I thought, well, they're making something out of nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the,
so
caught,
it worked,
lies
in,
you,
it worked
times
in your favor, actually.
Yeah, and everything I ever said was the truth. I have fucking screen grabs, everything. I mean, it's just, you know, I've done nothing, you know, wrong at all to anybody. I've reached out and tried to work with people. You know, they don't want to work with me. Once you start talking to video fakery, everybody turns their back on you.
Yeah, but that's another tip that you gave. Go ahead, Robin.
I was just going to say that's one of their tactics is the mind control, to be able to call out the rest of the free thinkers in this world and then have them attacked by the rest of the other people that don't agree with them, that are indoctrinated. So in a way, it's a tactic to oust what they can of the people who really know what's going on and figure out who they are, where they are, what they're saying on the social media sites. And then from there, I believe that they just let the rest of the mindless herds kind of attack them to the point they get beaten down and either submit or
I'm not letting that happen.
No, and that's good because obviously a lot of people succumb to such pressure at many different levels. And it takes that, I believe, that sacrifice and that courage to be able to step out in that regard. But that's a really serious tactic I see them using at this point with these hoaxes like 9/11 and the fighting amongst themselves is they really get the people who know what's going on to almost profess their awareness out there, and then they can just go and find out who that person is because they own pretty much all the tech, right? So
about 2 or 3 weeks before Fetzer agreed to come on my show, he had wrote an article on Veterans Today about 9/11 and no planes, right? And I wrote this statement on there, like a comment about, hey, how come you never get into the fact that, you know, maybe the victims in the towers were faked also, and maybe the whole 3,000 deaths thing was a bunch of bullcrap, you don't ever talk about this or that or the other thing. And I went to go tell somebody to go look at it, and they had already erased it within like 30 seconds. But I got a screen grab of it proving that I posted it there. I never mentioned it on the show, but they totally deleted the comment. They don't want anybody to know about the whole thing being a hoax. That's the last thing they want anybody knowing about.
Well, that's the tip I was going to give. Anytime you make a comment, make a screen grab of it. Just save all your screen grabs. That's all you're going to have left at the end of the day is screen grabs, right?
Yeah, well, they've been used to shut quite a few people up. Put it that way. But anyways, you know, what about Fetz's whole theory with now trying to say it was a hologram, not CGI, and it was by a flyby plane that not only was flying by in New York, and he supposedly thinks people were there, so nobody saw this other jet. It was flying low enough to project 175 where it wasn't blocked by any buildings, and it was also cloaked like Star Trek. It was like an invisible plane. Tell me how ridiculous that sounds compared to making a computer graphic.
Well, it is. And actually, last night I had a guy named OBF on the broadcast, and he's done a really good... He went on Fetzer's show. He was brave enough to go on Fetzer's show, and he's just a regular guy. And Fetzer ate him for lunch, pretty much, because Fetzer doesn't listen. He just steamrolls.
Oh, dude, and he talked about JFK for 22 minutes before I could get him to talk about 9/11 on the 9/11 show that I had.
Yeah.
22 minutes before 9/11 got mentioned.
No, I know. Well, that's he's the reason why I look at JFK as a template for 9/11. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know half of the PSYOP. He's got details right down to shoelaces and pictures on the most obscure picture he ever saw. And I thought, he really had me going because of the level of detail. And now that I think about it, as time goes by and I really concentrate on fakery, that's when I really think this is just a really early template for 9/11. There's so many parallels, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, anyway, so getting back to the hologram thing that you
totally
brought up.
Totally ridiculous. And I even said to him right away, I mean, Jim, if it was a hologram, then all the videos would show the same trajectory. You know? And he tried to act like other videos were thrown in there later to confuse people. No, dude, they were on TV. They're in the archives. Go look them up.
Yeah, well, OBF did a really good job refuting the whole hologram video. Richard Hall. Maybe Hall is for hologram. Maybe they do that deliberately. Richard Hall did a video trying to prove the holograms, and OBF did a pretty great job refuting all that, and he's trying to get back on Fetzer's show to get his word out. So I thought he did a pretty good job. I said, "Now you sure spent a lot of time doing it on what we all agree is just a fake movie." So, but good for you for trying. I guess
there's a couple things we didn't even mention, like the Pentagon and Shanksville, because they're so obvious. Well, I mean, we'll mention it briefly. I know you don't want to stay on too much longer, but James made some great points about what they said about, you know, the engine falling to the street and all that. I don't know if, James, you want to touch on that real quick.
Oh, yeah, just at the Trade Center, there's footage available of a jet engine and a piece of landing gear as well on the street, like it's at the corner of Church Street. And it's been measured out to be 500 meters from the tower. So, you know, this engine has to penetrate this wall and then penetrate it, you know, the steel trusses and the concrete and everything all the way through the other side, the office furniture. Then it has to exit the other side of the building, despite no video showing that occurring, without leaving a hole in the other side of the building. And then it travels 500 meters, I guess the length of about 5 football fields, and then lands in the street. You know, and the sound of that engine hitting the ground is not picked up on any camera anywhere. About 5 seconds after the impact, you should hear a massive thud. There should have been people taken out by it. There should be crater in the pavement. There should be, and hundreds of people should have whipped out their cameras and snapped pictures of it, because there would be hundreds of. I mean, if people say how you know there were thousands of people on the streets. Well, if there really was thousands of people on the street, then there should be thousands of witnesses to this jet engine hitting the ground. You know, you can't have it both ways. So,
yeah, 47 people could catch the plane going 500 miles an hour, but you couldn't get 100 of them to capture the engine sitting on the ground? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It just, it's crazy. You touched a lot on the videos. You didn't really touch much on the plane physics. But, you know, you could liken it to... I know it's a different material, but say you take a 767, you fly it, you know, alongside, say, the CN Tower or something, and the wing clips the CN Tower, you know. Do you think it's going to slice through the building and slice the building apart, or do you think it's just going to shear off? You know, the idea that those planes could penetrate the buildings like that, I think is absolutely absurd, and I can't believe that people bought that.
No, they certainly bought it at the time. Whether or not they even went back to check it out again is another story, but we all know we did, and it is ridiculous. Very ridiculous, but we know better. It's just a movie, just a prop. There's not totally much effort ridiculous. Put into it.
I mean, look at the Pentagon crash, for Christ's sakes. You supposedly had how many cameras? What was it, 87, 77? It was close to 100 cameras, supposedly, on the Pentagon. And nobody caught anything except for that one image they show us. And you're telling me that somebody that didn't really know how to fly a Cessna was able to fly a regular airplane low enough to the ground where they like hit a pretty low building face on, but they didn't even cut up the grass? Like, we're talking like some Star Fox Nintendo 64 flying here.
Yeah, that one got me the most. But that's what it all started. Some French guys did a video on Hunt the Boeing at the Pentagon. Remember that?
No, I don't know if I saw it.
That was all the way back in like 2002, I think. That was the first.
Yeah, that started it. That started the questioning. Yeah, go ahead, James. Talk about it.
Yeah, it was like a flash animation, and there was another one. The first films that came out sort of in plain sight was about a year before... Loose Change, and then there was two parts. One, the second part was the flash, the pods and the flashes on the aircraft in New York, and the first part of the movie was the Pentagon. But the real kicker is not just that, but somebody who's never stepped foot in a commercial aircraft cockpit before. I mean, I think it's pretty insulting to all the pilots worldwide, you know, who get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. When the planes practically fly themselves, by all accounts. I mean, why do we pay pilots so much when clearly you don't need much skill to do it? If someone can maneuver an aircraft like that, who's never set foot in a cockpit in his life, like, you know, a jet anywhere. Yeah, and just like, oh, people say, but they didn't have to land the planes. Well, in order to crash the planes with the Pentagon, you had to do everything but touch the wheels on the ground. So you had to land the plane for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, pretty brutal.
You see the video of the Arlington Hospital outside the Pentagon shortly after the crash? Everybody's just standing around like a photo op. Like there's nothing going on. Nobody's being rushed in and out of there. No ambulances are pulling up. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't it shot from inside, looking out? Nothing's happening.
It was shot from outside in the parking lot, looking at like the front of the like the emergency entrance. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I didn't see that. Post that. That sounds interesting.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to grab. I got to look for that. I'll post it after the show, but I'll put it in the comments. Is it? Like,
all right. That's cool.
Paste the comments in yourself. Because if it is, I'll put it in your Skype and you paste it. Because I can't type all that out. It's so much to type out for one video.
I don't know why you can't paste it, though. That's weird.
I don't know.
You should be able.
I don't know. It's not letting me.
Live fire works pretty good. It's like anything else. I know you pasted in. Maybe reload the page or something. Maybe the page went stale on you or the JavaScript is screwed up on it. That's all I can think about. That's all I can think of, rather. Maybe there's So you can't click inside the live fire box. Is that what happens to you?
Yeah. Well, no. I can click out the box, but once the cursor is there, the right click doesn't do anything. Nothing comes up. No menu or nothing. I'll try and reopen it and see what happens.
How about Control V? If you have a Windows computer, Control V for paste. That works. I always use Control V anyway.
Oh really? Without bringing up a little window or anything?
Yeah. No, you just click with the cursor in the box, Control V. If you've copied it, Control V is paste. V is Victor.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
That should work.
So yeah, what do you guys think about Shanksville, huh? You got that one picture of a black puff in the sky. It looks like a Partridge Family TV episode. It looks so old, the photography. It looks so stupid.
It's brutal. How about Robin? Robin, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Let's hear it. You chime in on Shanksville if you'd like.
Yeah, well, the only thing that I really wanted to comment on is that no one picks up on the fact that when they're digging the parts out of the field that the parts are all rusty.
Right. Rusting, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And so the physics alone, too, of swallowing a plane into the ground just doesn't add up. So
no, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there'd be, because even if you dropped a plane from 10 feet in the air, pieces would bust off and plastic would splinter and the composites would shatter and so forth. So to have the ground just swallow a plane is almost as big as the fakery that they pulled with the plane trying to swallow a plane. So maybe they had a fetish with things with objects swallowing planes, because it seems to be the current theme that gets pushed across most of what happened. And getting to the Pentagon too, when you have the most highly guarded building almost in the world with its security cameras, CCTV cameras, that they only give away the one shot supposedly of anything striking that building or look like it strike the building, that's got to be evidence right there for people to start cluing in. But most of this stuff doesn't register. So even if people look at it, it takes like years of looking at it to be able to somewhat get to solid conclusion, and not leave yourself in a pretty lonely place getting there. So That's what I say about Shanksville, is that it's the same current theme of them having this fetish with them swallowing planes. So and the Pentagon even, it swallowed that plane. So who knows.
Isn't it funny how planes are so weak that they can just vaporize, but then on the other hand, they can slice through steel?
Yeah, it doesn't make it. They almost contradict themselves in the same sentence with how they explained how this one went.
They contradict themselves everywhere. The videos contradict themselves so much. We took so long to get actually studying the videos to look at them and think of them as fake and then start to really analyze them in that respect. And once you do, it's like the contradiction in the videos is actually pretty amazing. What do you say, James?
Oh, for sure. I mean, definitely. And back to Shanksville as well. They tried to peddle this. I mean, there were a lot of firsts that day. But they tried to peddle this idea that the last 3 minutes of the cockpit voice recorder was missing. I mean, it's just absurd. I mean, CVRs work, but it's a 30-minute continuous loop. And it tapes over itself, so there's no scenario by which the final 3 minutes of the tape could be missing. That's just
that's an old trick. Everything always goes missing. Like, man, I can understand your socks. A sock goes missing in the wash for a couple days, but then it always pops up eventually, right? So. For this important information to always go missing, that is just such a common theme for all these psyops.
Yeah,
it's missing. Oh, the originals are missing. Oh, come on, stop it.
Why don't you just say
the event didn't happen? Yeah.
Another thing that's common is closed circuit television cameras conking out. You know, we saw that in London for the London bombings.
Yeah.
You know, all the CCTV cameras stopped working. CCTV, obviously, in the airports on 9/11 stopped working. The CCTV on top of the Trade Tower. It might have been a better camera, actually. It supposedly fed images every morning of New York. I mean, it would have had a perfect view of the first plane. That camera also wasn't working. Things just stopped working, you know?
Everything stops working, yep. Brains stop working mainly, though.
Okay, they don't start again.
I was just going to bring up the fact, too, of the TWA-800 flight that was that crashed. And you look at the pictures of how much plane debris they had to be able to reconstruct this. And when you get around to any of these talks about planes in 9/11, there's no debris. Like, where's all the debris? It's just absolutely... It's crazy that people can't even look at like a TWA crash and realize, hey, that's what a plane would have to look like if it crashed, and they picked all the parts up and started to put it back together. But yet they're not doing that with any of the planes in 9/11.
The plane that crashed in Nova Scotia, I think, in 97, they got all the pieces off the bottom of the ocean, and that plane had like a fire in it. And they got all the pieces off the bottom of the ocean, and they reconstructed the whole plane.
Yeah, and yet they can't do any of that.
It's funny. I was thinking about those crashes today, actually, because like I told you, I'm going back through history and trying to review. And I think we all are on the same page on hoaxes. Did anything happen? Did any of these planes crash anywhere at any time? I'm really starting to worry about it. What about Lockerbie? The Pan Am? Did that crash? I'm starting.
How about the Hudson River one? That's pretty suspicious.
Well, that one. Well, no, that's. I think most people are on the same page. That's baloney. But I'm talking about the big ones. Like the Lockerbie was their way to go after Libya, back in the 80s, I believe. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Well, what do you think about the Space Shuttle Challenger?
Yeah, that's a big one I've been thinking about. The Challenger as well.
Well, that's. Well, I would agree. NASA's everything they put out is a hoax. Space station.
Oh, yeah, NASA's Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But what do you guys think of just those? You brought up TWA and Swiss Air. I actually went to the memorial when I was out in that way. What do you think of those major plane crashes, guys?
I'd have to look.
There's some that are suspect. The Korean Air flight that was shot down, I think, particularly is suspicious. And also a few other ones. I mean, we've seen with 9/11, obviously there were no planes, but they can fake plane crashes, you know, convincingly, because they've done it four times on 9/11. So definitely some of
the. Well, if a plane goes down over the ocean, you know how big a lake is, for God's sakes. Now the ocean is just vast, 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 vast. It's like space, outer space. It's so big. I don't see how the hell they recover plane parts from 100 miles off the coast in the ocean. I really don't.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if
especially with the tide and everything, taking those smaller pieces.
Right.
Yeah, it does seem quite out.
It's literally a needle in a haystack. Literally. And the ocean is mighty. It's huge. It's vast. It's mostly just vast. So I'm really suspicious when they rebuild planes from plane parts, obviously just assemble them, and when they crash in the middle of absolute nowhere, it really makes me wonder. And there was that Air France flight that went from Brazil to Paris that crashed, and I'm wondering if any planes are really crashing on a large scale.
And some of those crashes were a long time ago, not so much modern technology, you know what I'm saying, like to retrieve those parts.
Sorry to cut you off, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it is hard to say, but in my experience, I mean, planes are pretty safe. I mean, it takes a lot to bring a plane down, you know? I mean, when you consider how many planes are flying all the time, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, in 96, the TWA flight said that they were sparking a fuel tank, which burst apart and sent it down. And then the evidence found later is that it was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. So well, I think in some cases,
is that the
some
evidence
of this stuff,
or is that the rumor of an evidence? I don't even buy any of this crap.
Well, the official story was the fuel tank, so I guess we don't have to believe that one because the official story is already going
to
be done.
Yeah, but then the other story could be fake too, just to make the story more believable, like we see with 9/11. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, very much so too. But
it's
then
so
you have,
hard
yeah.
to believe anything without actually seeing it and analyzing it now.
Yeah,
but you're not going to get to see it and analyze
well,
it.
Well, we do a little
point.
Bit. That's you know, that's the good thing about the media fakery. We do get to see it and analyze.
Well,
we do get to see it a little bit.
Well, we're analyzing what can't be. That all we know is what doesn't make sense. Well, my point is, since we already are agreeing as a group that the military media controls all the media, so they control all the investigations, so we can't believe anything now. What a lousy situation. And I was thinking, you know, we watched some kooky videos of Tel Aviv and Gaza this week, and I just clicked the first link on Drudge this week. I got to YouTube. It showed another fuzzy camera phone picture with a little bright light going across the sky, and then the hand goes over the lens, so you can't see the supposed missile landing or the supposed missile getting intercepted. So my point is that if that happened in your backyard, okay, say you're in Tel Aviv, even if you looked out the window, first of all, you'd be in your house. They tell you to stay inside, okay, so you wouldn't really probably be out on your deck taking pictures of missiles flying over, okay? But say it did fly over your house. Well, you might not see anything except hear a noise and see a streak. Now, you're not going to go and find where the thing landed. Say it blew a big hole in the ground 5 miles from your house. Well, you're not going to be able to go over there and look at it and take pictures because you're going to get 2 miles from the scene and they'll be blocked off. So just think, even if stuff is happening around you, you're not even going to be able to verify it, are you? Really?
No.
So that's the problem. So you're going to trust the authorities to give you the report. So if something blew up a mile from your house, you'd probably still turn on your TV because you'd believe that the camera crews are there filming it for you, right?
I don't know if I would. I mean, I haven't turned my TV on in months, so maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. I don't know.
My point is, the fakery, even if the fakery is in your backyard, it's going to be very hard for you to go prove it for yourself. Yeah. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Doesn't matter if it's around the world. Doesn't matter if it's.
It's not just the fakery, though. It's like everything is ass backwards from what we were brought up to believe it is. Everything. Everything we thought was good is bad. Everything that we thought they did this was really because of that. It's like, you know what I mean? I don't mean to sound pessimistic because I'm not. I don't think the world's going to end or anything like that. I'm just saying everything is opposite. You guys know what I mean? It sucks.
Well, it's an imagine.
Saying there's no foundation anymore for what we understand. That's the problem. That's the torture for me.
Yeah, it's some good torture, too, because it's an imaginary world placed over top of the real world, and they just get you to believe in the imaginary world so much that you lose less focus on the real world. And what was I going to say about 9/11? Well,
9/11 started it all. That's the big problem.
Well, they've been doing it before 9/11, but it gets back to corrupting...
So big. The biggest thing that ever happened in my lifetime was 9/11, for sure. It was actually the biggest thing that never happened, but either way.
Right.
But they get you to break down the whole process of thinking to the point it's mush for a lot of people because you get to a certain point of you can't verify any facts that you can't see or like you're not there for yourself. So everything that somebody tells you that's a fact that you can't verify on your own, you can't really trust as a fact. Because,
right.
So they really take you on this level down the spiral it to a point that if you really get to the concrete thinking of it, that you can't support anything that you see unless you're right there firsthand. So you really get stuck in a lonely place there trying to come out and tell people certain things.
That's right. That's where I am. I don't know about you guys. That's where I am. I'm stuck there. They got me.
I go through the lonely place, but I get pissed off more than anything, and I just tell more people, and fucking, I don't get... Sorry,
I'm not saying not to. I'm just saying that the way that the spiral works, it gets your thinking down to such a level that you almost just can't prove anything anymore to any degree, right? Because it's all in the imaginary world, too, so... Mm-hmm. When you get to the root cause of thinking about most of this, it nullifies itself because you just don't have, you can't answer so many of it. You just can't answer it.
Can I ask you guys a question?
No. Are you?
Robin and Ab.
Of course.
How long have you guys been into this stuff?
Me, April.
All right. How about you, Robin?
Five years.
I got a little tip that I've come up with that I think work, because I've gotten really burnt out from the 9/11 stuff where I've had to take weeks off, like literally, because I was ready to go.
Oh, of course,
nuts.
Of course. Yeah, I can see that.
Set aside a day once a week and just whatever things you used to love. Don't give up everything. You know, if you still love to watch a movie or play a video game or go out with the guys one night, take one day a week and do it, because I started doing it like the last month, and I was so much happier. I didn't feel so miserable and cooped up in the house, because I know how it gets, dude. You feel just cooped up in the house. You don't really want to talk to anybody. Set aside one night and just, you know, do your thing and have fun, and just don't really talk to stuff about people unless they unless they really ask about it, and just go out one night. You'll feel better about yourself. I don't know if that helps.
Oh, I agree. I still do it.
I went more than 2 years without even really going out. I like gave up everything. I was going out all the time, you know, and I just totally stopped and got so absorbed into learning things and telling people. And one time I was doing 9 radio shows a week. It was ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that's a lot. That's overkill.
Yeah,
but,
two a day, 4 days a week, and one day I did another one. That's a lot, dude.
Yeah,
they were only an hour show that time, though.
That's a lot, though. Yeah, we've gone... what were you going to say, Robin?
Oh, no, I was just going to comment that I don't really have a problem with soaking this stuff up. You can balance it pretty easily, because when you get to a point, too, of going out, and you know most people go out to get rid of, like, the truth, that it doesn't seem to bother me after a certain point, because most of the people out there just, it's like walking through the Matrix.
Well, you know how to separate it, too. They don't know how to separate it. You know how to separate just going out and then getting back to reality after.
Yeah, when you can step back and see what's really going on, you can definitely bounce in and out of things in a lot more stride than most people do, and not get taken over.
It actually makes some situations fun, doesn't it? It makes some situations fun. You know how stupid everybody is? You just kind of laugh at them.
Yeah, sometimes I do. I don't so much do that anymore. But what I do, though...
You guys know
is
you
that
do it,
makes... it.
You just don't want to say it.
Yeah. One thing it does do is... One thing it does do is... makes you more aware.
I don't care anymore.
No, the one thing it does do is makes me more aware.
I try to be professional as I can now, but sometimes I gotta have a good laugh, man. I take enough BS that I can have a good laugh sometimes.
Oh no, I agree. It's funny. It's funny. It's funny. Everyone's they're the Walking Dead, and you're the only one awake. That's the problem, right?
I've never walked the real walk, so you know.
Yeah. Well, James, are you still there?
Yeah. Well, just getting to a point where, you know, like Brian couldn't imagine 3 years ago cracking a joke about 9/11, you know. But like knowing what we know, you know, it's a little easier. I mean, you know, his personal belief as is mine is that nobody probably died that day, and that, you know, not everybody's at that level. But knowing that or feeling that you know that, you know, changes everything.
Well, it's a it's a good feeling that nobody died, and it's also a good feeling that maybe even so many of the events in the last 100 years didn't happen the way we're told. There may be a lot fewer deaths than you think.
No, I think many of them. But it's also...
But then again, you also feel robbed, too, because of all that fake grief that you wasted. All those fake tears that you wasted, you could have
spent
on something else, you know?
I remember going to Ground Zero a few years after.
I wasn't crying, but I was just more stressed over the knowledge. And I don't know about you guys, but this is, again, thanks to forums like the Clues Forum, I got to give them credit for a lot of any time now. Before, when I used to get emails about certain things back before 9/11, I was awake in April, people would send emails and I'd go to Snopes and find out if it's true or not.
Might as well go to Wikipedia.
Well, that's what I've heard now, that Snopes is just as BS as the rest of it, which is fine. Now I know. But my point is, now I go to Clues Forum, and they don't necessarily have the answers, but at least they have the discussions where people are talking about it. So yeah. I've just gone back. All the things I used to worry about, 9/11, nuclear power, nuclear bombs, I'm pretty sure that all that stuff is BS too. And that... when you start talking like that, when you start going all through the things that scared you, wars, how millions of people dying, radiation, nuclear power leaking, the nuclear bomb, it really, if you just say
that... CNN has definitely faked war a few times. I have a few videos of them faking war. So I'm not saying it's all fake, but they have definitely faked war a few times, and I have it on tape.
No, I know. I've seen those ones. But how do you guys feel? If you know, for instance, did any of you guys ever worry about, say, a nuclear bomb taking out half the Earth and making the other half uninhabitable?
I wouldn't say half the Earth, but I'd say like maybe a third of the country or something. I've worried about it.
Well, I wasn't so worried about my own country. I mean, it was more isolated. But if I lived in America or whatever, if you lived in America or in Russia during the height of the Cold War or whatever, you know, you probably would have been quite worried. What even about the big one, you know, the first two world wars? I mean, have we been lied to about those death tolls, you know?
No doubt. And who did what? And who was, and who the actors were and who they represented? And what they did to Germany. Of course, the way they manipulated the information. What was the real goal? In World War II, World War One?
To get everybody to feel bad for the Jewish people and get Israel set up and then use Israel as like the center of running everything.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Robin?
I
know Robin has
strong opinions. I'm not 100% on that. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, no, that's it's very accurate on one half that they did it to make up Israel, so they can usher in the next part of their phase after that, which they're getting to now, and moving state capitals. But they also did it to destroy Germany. They wanted Germany destroyed, so that's why they went to war. They didn't like the country for what it did a couple hundred years before, and they wanted to take that out. So it's personal belief thing too. They hold grudges and want revenge against those who speak out, and it's no different today with them going and doing the European superstate, the European Union. They're trying to bankrupt what they didn't finish in World War II. So they start these wars and split countries up and go in to create more strife and kind of get so much, in the Hegelian dialectic sense, get so much working on either side against themselves that they just pop out and they can kind of create this synthesis after the two, thesis and antithesis. So, but it's all one staged event too. Like the numbers in World War II are heavily forged. So they do try to pump it up because that keeps the fear going that another one could happen. And when I was growing up, I didn't really care so much about nuclear bombs going off per se, because it was in such a long period of prosperity, I guess, after the Second World War, that I guess it just didn't get brought up in any type of real fear-mongering sense. But that prosperity is wearing thin to the point that's why 9/11 showed up, and that's why other ones will continue to show up in the near future, is because we've had such a long run past Second World War that it's time to rein people in again. And World War II was, I think, just the beginnings of the end for Europe, and that's where you see the European Union finishing off from World War II.
Right. But I guess, Brian, do you agree that all these hoaxes, all this media fakery, the main product it's trying to sell is fear to scare people? That's yeah. where I've arrived at.
Hey, 100%.
And fear is used 100%. For control.
And not just fear, but division. Division is the other part of it. Fear and division, because they don't want the people uniting and really figuring out what's going on. So if you even if half of the people in the country woke up, which would be unbelievably high number, but even if half of the people in the country woke up, they'd still be divided into 15 friggin' groups and they'd never unite. You know what I'm saying? I know that sounds kind of simple terms, but I'm just breaking it down how it is, and that's what they do. That's what they do with these big psyops, you know? And they have so many theories.
Well, at that point, Brian, do you think that if you're on a sinking ship, instead of running around telling everyone the ship's sinking, would you only then go and save your family and the friends and yourself to get off? Because if you go and tell everybody else, you might go down with the sinking ship. Do you think that that kind of logic applies in this world, where if you go try waking people up, they're actually going to attack you so much that you could lose your chance of saving yourself and those
I don't know, because I don't think that way. Anybody that knows me knows I got a big friggin' mouth when it comes to this stuff. So I tell everybody I can. Uh-huh. I'm not really worried about that. I don't know.
Yeah, because I think
if we don't say anything, we're only going to go down anyways. So I can't just
Oh, no, very much so.
Nothing.
No, I understand that. I just think, though, that you see a lot of people out there that call themselves truthers, and they go on for some time, and they come out with gold nuggets, and then all of a sudden they fade off, and it's left up to another generation to come up behind them and kind of continue on, I guess. And I'm just wondering if they get to a point, even though they want to and have good intentions at the start to help people get the word out, that over time, because these people who pull these things off are very patient, they've been doing this for some time as well, that and trying to complete their agenda, that they just wear you out to the point that they'll usher in whatever they want when they want to. But getting back to my initial question there, that the that brain cell, that train derailed.
It's getting late. Yeah. It's getting late. My brain stops working after 11 as well. Well, any parting comments, Brian? Because this is your guest show today, so I maybe give you the last word.
I wanted to thank you for having me on, and sorry that it took about 3 months to get it going. I just had a lot of stuff going on lately. I know you've been trying to get in touch with me for a while. We played phone tag a little bit before we connected, but I'm glad I came over, and I'd be glad to come over another time. And there's a little more 9/11 we could still talk about, and you know, you're welcome to come, you know, call into my show anytime. We're usually on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. And it's real easy to remember, guys. It's just therealnewsonline.com. And then you just go to the radio page. You'll see it. It's not hard to figure out. Therealnewsonline.com. And I want to thank Gab for having me on tonight. I thought it was a great show, actually.
Oh, you were great. Yeah, you got the gift of the gab, my friend. So keep up the good work. We'll pass some show notes between us in the days ahead, and we can have a similar conversation again, because you can just keep going around and around on this stuff, really.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We only touched up
a few. Moon show one time would be good too. We could do a show on the moon hoax.
You're really good at assembling the evidence. So if you've got a page on the moon stuff,
I do.
Yeah, you probably already have one, so we can go through that. I'm sure you've done it on your own show. We can just repeat it over here and get some other guys' input at the same time. Make it interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, James, thanks for joining us.
That's all right.
Good to hear from you. And Robin, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks, Ab.
And Ab, Robin
tell
and I,
people to check out the Facebook page, because we discuss stuff like this 7 days a week. And I put it in the comment area, the live fire underneath today's show.
That's right. Well,
Facebook groups.
So go. All right. So go to my website, radio.abarato.info. Click on the Brian Stavely link, and under there, Ryan has posted lots of links at the bottom in the comments. He's got a Facebook page with a long number at the end, so you're really going to have to go look at the comment. And he's got a 9/11 discussion going. He's got links to his website, to his radio show, and we've got also a lot of the YouTube links on what we discussed. So great, great stuff. I appreciate that. And guys, everybody have a good night.
All right, you too.
Yep, thanks. You too.